4 new stamps were issued yesterday, each one honouring what's described as an iconic Irish voice. Seamus Begley, Christy Dignam, Sinead O'Connor and of course Shane McGowan. And we're joined by Shane's wife, Victoria Mary Clark. Victoria, good afternoon to you.
Hello Sean, how are you?
Not too bad. Would he have liked being put on a stamp, do you think?
Absolutely. I definitely believe he would like being put on a stamp. And it's something that we did talk about, you know, because I think maybe while Phil Linnett on a stamp, he could have been, or Bono. Anyway, there was somebody else on a stamp and he was talking about it and wondering, you know, what would he have to do to get on a stamp.
All right, so it would have been an aspiration of his.
It was an aspiration. And I think, you know, I might have said this at the event, but he definitely felt strongly about Ireland being free to put people on stamps that weren't the Queen or the King. Mm. You know, I think it was important to him that it was a republic and that we were allowed to put regular citizens on the stamp. So, yeah, I think it would have been important politically as well as just personally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How have you been doing?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know and all kinds of people know that it is a bit of an up and down ride when you lose somebody that you're very close to, that you love, and you don't really know how you're going to feel, and you don't really know what to expect, so you have to take the good when it comes. And I think something like this is very uplifting, and it's surprisingly comforting when other people celebrate your loved one, because I think the worst thing you could imagine for them is that people would forget about them. So when somebody does something like put them on a stamp, then you're like, you feel that they've extended their life somehow, or extended their field of influence.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. It's really nice.
But I suppose because everybody had a feeling about Shane's death, kind of the entire country was moved. So, you know, you maybe weren't given the room to, or were you, the room to kind of grieve privately?
Well, you know, you can't really grieve privately when somebody is known to other people and they have their perspective. It's very difficult. I talked to Ciara Dignam about this yesterday. She was saying, you know, it is kind of a unique situation where the person isn't really a private person because they're sort of a public person. And your perception of them has a mixture of their public and their private, because you know the private, but you also know the public. So you're losing a public and a private at the same time.
Yeah, you know, like probably a lot of people listening might have had this experience where they're like, say, you know, a family member dies and you're shaking people's hands, and then people who are attending the funeral say, oh, I'm so upset your father died. And suddenly you find yourself having to comfort someone who should be comforting you. But you must be finding yourself in that position kind of, but like multiplied by a million kind of thing.
I suppose that does happen. But then you have to remind yourself to be grateful that they are actually bothered. So you got to take the good, you know, they might not have cared. They might not be interested. So the fact that they're interested is, it's honestly very comforting. It really is.
Yeah. Okay.
But the other thing I thought might be important to say, that I think it's important that these people, particularly Shane and Sinead, and I can't really speak for Seamus because I didn't know him. Mm. I only met Christy once. But I do feel that Shane and Sinead were both very much outside the establishment. They were not the kind of people you'd expect to see on a stamp.
Yes.
You know, they're both very rebellious, both got into their own sticky situations and got vilified in their own ways. And, you know, Shane experienced a lot of, I suppose, discrimination, you know, for being an alcoholic and a drug addict. You know, it's still very stigmatized having those kind of addiction or those kind of problems. You know, people used to laugh at him for having no teeth or for being drunk all the time. And anytime he did an interview, they'd say, oh, are you drunk now? You know, I mean, I'm sure eventually people will start to see that this is a mental health problem. It's not, you know, like being drunk isn't something to laugh about. But it's nice that they're putting him on a stamp because it means that some of the stigma can be taken away, I think.
Yeah, indeed. And now I know, Shane had been, you know this, of course, but Shane had been ill for some time. So I suppose you had anticipated this period of your life a bit. Is it the way you expected it to be?
I honestly didn't anticipate it at all. I didn't think it would happen. He had promised to live to be well over 80, and I believed him. So I was the last person to expect to be living this moment. And likewise with Sinead. I mean, there was, you know, it was such a shock to lose them both. I wasn't anticipating it. So I didn't have a plan in place, which I think is good. Because I think then you just let things happen, and you get surprised by how nice people are and how supportive and how much help there is, which I didn't know there was. You know, there's been a lot of help.
Do you still feel his presence?
I do, very much. Particularly at home in his chair, you know, he's very much there. But also I feel him communicating with me, just saying things, you know, telling me things. Or also I've been to a couple of clairvoyants and he's come through them, which has been really helpful. And again, that was something that, you know, Christie's family were saying that that's helped them as well. So I do think that there is another dimension and we do end up going there. So I do believe that.
And you've spoken to me about that before. Can you tell us what kind of things Shane? Can you tell us any of the things Shane said to you through the clairvoyance?
Well, I suppose a lot of the things were about how he wanted me to live. You know, he definitely doesn't want me to go around being miserable for the rest of my life. Mm. Like he's constantly encouraging me to get out and try and live and have fun, because he says we will be together soon enough, but like not immediately, and in the meantime to actually just live and try and, you know, get on with it.
And you feel you're doing that?
I'm doing my best. I feel like I'm doing better than I ever imagined was possible. Definitely. I wouldn't have believed I would still be here talking to you. You know, if you'd said last year he'll be dead, I'd be like, oh, I'll be dead too.
Really? Yeah.
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah.
So I've never really been, you know, I met him when I was 16, so he's been most of my life.
It's like 40 years you were together, something like that?
A long time. I'm not going to say specifically, but a really, really long time.
Sorry.
Yeah, and I suppose because neither of us had a job as such, you know, we both spent all our time together.
Hmm. Gosh, yeah. Gosh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, because it wasn't even like you'd see each other in the evening. It was,
No, we saw each other all day long, every day, and we were just very, very happy. Like, I'm so glad that we were. I think it's great to have had that, to know that you could be, and that you would just have no complaints about that person.
Yeah. So in the house now, have you had to, your home now must feel a bit different? Is there a process there of kind of getting used to the difference there? He's kind of there and not there in a way.
He's there and not there. And I suppose he's behind a veil. And I have to keep reminding myself, you know, he is there and I can talk to him. And I do talk to him. And sometimes I feel like he gets it. And he's sitting there and he's like kind of trying to answer. I'm sure we'll get to the stage where he can tell me stuff and I'll be able to write it down.
Yeah.
Channeling.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. Victoria, thank you very much for talking with us today, and take care of yourself. Victoria Mary Clark there. You are listening.